It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Top 4 at 4 this afternoon on the Drive. Officials say they are working to find a new date for the Preakness Stakes, the second jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown. The Maryland Jockey Club and Stronach Group announced today that whenever the Preakness is run in 2020, it will go on without the infield activities that have been one of the race's biggest traditions. The Preakness was scheduled for May 16th in Baltimore. Obviously, that's not going to happen. The Kentucky Derby also already been postponed from May 2nd to September 5th, which is scheduled to be the opening Saturday of the college football season. No decision has yet been made on the Belmont Stakes, which is scheduled for June 6th at Belmont Park in New York. Well, the NBA playoffs try to figure out if there any way they can get that done. Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated reports that quarantining in one location is the only solution possible for the NBA, and that Vegas is really the only city the NBA is currently giving any kind of serious consideration, per his sources. Sending 16 teams to Las Vegas to play games in hollow arenas isn't ideal, but it could evolve into a fun one-time event that would bring the game back and, more importantly, get that TV revenue flowing. Bear, what do you think? NBA playoffs in Vegas. I know you're not a big NBA guy, but, we haven't seen sports in 3 weeks. You would watch, right?
Yeah, I would. I'm out John Reed about it right now at this point. NBA, I'd learn every damn thing about it. I want some sports badly, Russ.
Did you call him Elton John Reed?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Did you call him Elton John Reed?
I didn't mean to, but I'll start calling him that if you want me to. That'd be a good nickname for him, Elton John Reed. I just want some sports. Vegas makes total sense, too.
I mean, if they could get the guys in there and get them to get the hotels clean, get the teams there and everybody healthy and secure the arenas, I guess it could work, right? But I'm just thinking, like, these guys would have to clean their own rooms. The food would probably be the biggest thing, right? Because a lot of people are going to have to prepare the food.
I want this thing to be like Big Brother.
I mean, it has the potential to be really cool if they can pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, we're a long way from there. But yeah, it would definitely be awesome if they could figure out a way to do it, man.
Speaking of which, number 3, Giannis Antetokounmpo is at home in Wisconsin, quarantining. He's been cooking, cleaning, spending time with his family, working out a little bit. But one thing that Giannis usually does this time, he hasn't done at all. He hasn't played basketball. Says on a conference call today, he has no access to a hoop. And so he can't play. Now, that's another thing to think about. Like, you know, these guys are in such elite physical condition to play in the NBA as often as those guys do. You cannot tell me that if we get those hotels ready by June and get them in, guys are going to be so out of shape. And they might still look like Greek gods compared to you and I, but the level of fitness that's required to play at that level, that would be a major factor. You're going to see guys get hurt, pull hamstrings, stuff like that. The bench is going to have to figure into it more. Guys are going to be tired. I'm not trying to bring you down. I'd still love to see it, but it's going to be, you know, a different level of quality in the playoffs than we've become accustomed to.
Well, sure.
Just something to think about.
Yeah, but it's still sport.
Yes, it is still sports. And that brings us to number 4. Amid ongoing concern and escalating coronavirus infection rates in the United States, Clemson football coach Dabo Swinney says he remains optimistic that the college football season will start on time. Asked his preference for how the sport might adjust to potential scheduling issues due to the pandemic, Swinney said his only focus is on players reporting to camp sometime in August. He says, quote, I have zero doubt that we're going to be playing and the stands are going to be packed. End quote.
Yeah. I'm glad he's confident.
I mean, does that set your mind at ease any, Trey Wallace, that Dabo Swinney, noted epidemiologist, has zero doubt that not only are we going to be playing football come that first weekend in September, but the stands are going to be packed when we do it?
No, he's just being optimistic. He's just being optimistic.
I guess what else do you say?
You can say, yeah, we're not having college football. I don't know. Or you can be optimistic and say, yeah, you know what? We're going to be there ready to play. I can't wait for the stands to be filled. I kind of applaud it. Why not?
Well, these ultra alpha male jock football coaches, the one thing they despise and as a sign of weakness is just any sort of uncertainty, you know? But to me, what Dabo said today is every bit as dumb and ill-informed as what Kirk Herbstreit said over the weekend, where he's like, "Ah, we're not whatever he said." I don't have the direct quote in front of me, but he basically said he would be shocked if we play college football. How about we just say, guys, we don't know. How about Kirk Herbstreit just say, "Listen, I'm a former player whose career ended 30 years ago." And I'm just a talking head and a handsome face on TV. I don't know. How about Dabo Swinney say, guys, I've been reviewing workout plans for the past 2 weeks. I don't know. Like what? I guess they can't say that because that, you know, shows weakness and uncertainty or whatever. But that's the truth. And I, for one, always want to hear the truth as opposed to idiots just pretending to know what they're talking about, which is the case today. Is that too harsh?
Nah.
I don't think so.
I probably shouldn't call Dabo an idiot. If he's an idiot, what does that make me? 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the drive with us. 546-8200. Coming up later this hour, Aaron Torres, friend of the show, is going to join. He's in quarantine out there in California. We'll talk to AT about what's going on out there. And get his thoughts on the scheme. I'm interested to talk about college basketball corruption with him. And then how about this, Bear? Hour number three, here about 5:20 or so, we're going to catch up with a graduate of the Fan Run Academy of Broadcasting, Lucas Panzeca. It's been so long, I don't even remember his name. He's broadcasting.
Second best intern in station history.
And also my co-host on the most listened to, and when I say most listened to, I mean least listened to, Fan Run podcast in the history of Fan Run podcast, the 2018 World Cup podcast that we did 2 years ago. It was so much fun.
How many listens has that thing gotten?
I'd say it's up to at least a dozen by now.
It'll be good to catch up with Lucas, though.
No, we had a couple hundred people listen to those things.
Yeah, and I'm really interested in what Aaron has to say. I share a lot of the same, just from what I've seen Aaron comment, you know, on some of his tweets. I share a lot of the same sentiments he does towards the scheme and all that. So it'll be interesting to see his take on it, though.
Tanner, who are you comparing Dabo Swinney to?
I do believe I compared him to Joel Osteen.
that's terrible, man. What are you doing?
It's accurate.
Yeah, it is.
He would open his church up for the flood victims.
I'm not sold.
Hey, if... if Clemson, if Seneca, South Carolina, Clemson is overrun by coronavirus patients, they will take that Taj Mahal of a football complex with the slide in it and the nap stations and let the COVID patients reside there until they recover.
I don't know if it was up to Dabo he would let them do that. Maybe if it was up to Clemson's AD. I mean, knowing Dabo, knowing him with the aw shucks mentality of him, he'll probably be like, no, don't open the football facility. There's too much entitlement in the world already.
Dabo would be like, well, you know, back in the time of Jesus, they just sent all the lepers to live in a cave somewhere. That's what we ought to do.
I chuckled.
Let's get Phil in here next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
My Lord, what do you say, Philly? How you and Trey and Bear Bryant doing? Not bad. That's good. I want to compliment Tanner for being in the studio. He's the only one that's risking his life to not get corona virus. How cool, you know?
He just wants to spend a week in the infirmary at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. I see through his plot. I see through it.
So they're going to do it there, and the Expo Center, they're going to make it one too? Is that right?
Well, they're saying that they've reviewed those sites, and I think if it works out to where they run out of ICU beds, they could use those. Hopefully we don't get there.
Yeah.
Hopefully East Tennesseans are social distancing and staying at home and taking the proper precautions, and it doesn't come to that. But if it does, yes, I believe those are the two locations that would be used.
Well, has Nick Saban got the game plan to send home the Alabama players when they're going home? What else is going on? I understand there's a lot of stuff going home with them.
Well, they got all their players Apple Watches so that they can actually track. You know, here in Tennessee, everybody was mad yesterday because the government's watching us with our phones. They're pinging our phones to see who's out on the roadways and stuff. They've been doing that for 10 years.
Yeah.
Or 20 years, probably. And down at Alabama, they're tracking their players. They've actually got the watch on their wrist, so they know every time they take a step.
How
about that?
Well, I wonder if they got had that thing when they got shotguns and pot and everything going on, you know? And I mean, that's cool, you know?
Can you imagine some Alabama backup left tackle late at night with his boys? He's in his athletic department financed Dodge Durango, and he's sparking up about the second blunt of the evening, and all of a sudden, like, Nick Saban's face pops up on his Apple Watch right there. Put down the wacky weed. All right, with that
being said, did Trey, I didn't get there the first hour. Did Trey go over there to the, I mean, I guess they had a conference call or whatever it is. Jeremy Pruitt, what was that all about? What's the highlights of that?
Is Trey with us, Tanner?
He's
not
on
here
now.
Yeah, we've got something going on. Screw with our phone lines, Phil, but it was like a virtual thing, and I think Trey was on there watching.
Yeah, he's on.
Oh, go ahead,
real
Trey.
Quick, Philly. I was on there, you know, with other media members, and Pruitt, it was not video; it was just audio.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't get to see Pruitt's face today.
Well, all I can say is, guys, I'm beginning to think football may be affected by this. I just don't see how it can not. I mean, I think it's going to make season ticket sales go down. Are you going to invest a bunch of money after you don't even know if you have a job?
No. I think it's already been affected, obviously, with the cancellation of spring practice. I think ticket sales are going to be way, way down. And I think the, you know, whether or not we even have the season is a 50-50 proposition at best.
I want to compliment you on your interview with the collector yesterday. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Phil. I'm sorry I forgot to ask him about recruiting. I actually did have it written down, and I just wasn't looking, and got carried away listening to him talk about the FBI stuff, quite frankly. And by the time he was done with that, we had him on for 20 minutes, so I figured like we ought to let him go. But, yeah, I mean, he's – Rick Barnes, he doesn't hold back, man. He's going to tell you what's on his mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, I don't know. I'll tell you what, I'm over here at the tank celebrating Preb Extra Coach of the Year. That's a great – sight and seeing the trophy on the wall while I'm here.
Phil, thank you, man. Y'all be safe out there. Appreciate you. Sure what he's talking about right there, Bear. So Pruitt could see you guys, but you couldn't see him, Trey? Is that how that worked?
No, I don't know. We could see, all the reporters could see each other, but I think Pruitt just called in. Like, I don't think he was videoing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. And well, he's probably sitting there in one of those, strappy T-shirts. Probably hadn't shaved in a couple of days. You know, I mean, I wonder what would quarantine Pruitt look like?
Well, you've seen him. Several times he's during the course of the week, during the season, when he gets up there for those press conferences, you know, he only shaves his head maybe once or twice a week. And if you catch him on those Wednesday pressers, sometimes you see like he's got male pattern baldness, but like you could start to see his hair growing out. It's he's got a kind of a Bruce Willis thing from Die Hard going on, maybe.
Could Pruitt grow a beard?
Could he grow a beard?
Yeah, he could grow a beard.
Yeah, he's a grown man. I'm sure he could.
I didn't mean like that. I mean, could Pruitt pull off a beard is the best way to put it.
Not like you, Trey Wallace.
Oh, well, thank you. I know.
Speaking of which, guys, I got to say, the rustache is resplendent right now. I haven't trimmed it at all in like 3 weeks. I mean, and I haven't had a haircut.
So I'm like Burt Reynolds, Smokey and the Bandit level now, or what?
Yeah, I mean, kind of mid-70s Burt Reynolds, because I haven't had a haircut in about 6 weeks either. So I'm getting a little shaggy. The mustache is really coming in, and it's something, man. It's something. I feel good about it. It's just a shame y'all can't see it. I don't know. Maybe I need to do a Periscope or something for the people.
I'm going to start doing Zooms.
Quick timeout. Quick timeout. Big Josh, please give us a call back if your wife will let you. We got to take a quick timeout and talk to Aaron Torres. Coming up here, give our best to Mrs. Big Josh. As the drive continues, Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio coming up next, right here on The Drive. And Run Radio, Russell Baird, Trey back with you. Pleased to be joined now by Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio. Follow him on Twitter at Aaron_Torres. Aaron, good afternoon. How are things out in beautiful L.A.?
They're going well, fellas. Pretty much business as usual. Wake up, shower's optional. Pretty much same place it is everywhere else. How about you guys?
Hey, man, shower's optional. Pants are optional, quite frankly. I am wearing some, though, to set your mind at ease. And, yeah, it's kind of like the same thing out here, just ready for the weekend, which to some might not mean as much as it used to, but I'm looking forward to it anyway.
Yeah, it's actually really funny. I as I was in break and I was hearing Russ read all these incredible ad reads, I was sending a thank you email really quick. And I did drop the have a good weekend and I hit send. And I was like, yeah, Saturday and Sunday are all kind of the same at this point. Right? Saturday's not really any all that much different than Wednesday, as best I can tell.
Well, there's so many things that we, you know, just do as matter of course. And I wonder, Aaron, when things get back to normal, whenever that is, do you think we will start shaking hands again, or does that go the way of the Buffalo?
Oh, that's such a great question. Yeah, you know, it's funny. Listen, you know, we're all on the phone, I think, just trying to stay connected with people and all that stuff. And I was talking to a buddy that's pretty smart. He doesn't necessarily work in the medical field or the travel field, but what he was saying was he wonders if, you know, kind of in this, you know, in the post 9/11 world, you know, physical security was really heightened up after 9/11. If there will be some kind of, you know, test that you'll take at TSA to see if you're carrying anything that might be whatever, blah, blah, blah. I say all this to say something is going to come out of this. I'm a handshake guy. I like, you know, when I meet you to give you a nice firm handshake, you know, let you know that, you know, I'm a good guy and all that stuff. So I hope it doesn't go away. It was kind of weird even in the couple days prior to, you know, everything really kind of being completely shut down. You know, when you say bye to somebody, you say you introduce yourself to somebody and they did the little hesitation, the little, you know, the little, do I do it? Do I go in? Do I not go in? Do I give you the elbow? What do I do? It was weird. It's just my personal opinion. I haven't consulted anybody, but I do hope it comes back because I'm a handshake guy. What can I say?
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Aaron Torres with us this afternoon on The Drive. And Aaron, it's good to talk to you this week because we actually had, you know, we're supposed to start the Final Four tomorrow, but we do have college basketball news this week. I know you watched the scheme. We talked about it a lot, I guess, Wednesday, the day after it came out. And that was a very, very interesting piece of television. Just your thoughts and takeaways after watching Christian Dawkins tell his story.
Real quick, you guys kind of tipped me off that you had Rick Barnes and he had some pretty strong comments about what came out. Can you guys just give me the quick rundown? I haven't had a chance to hear what he said yet.
Yeah, Trey, you wrote about this. You've listened to it more than I have and can probably explain it better. What was Rick Barnes's take on it?
Just talking about the NCAA as a whole and how they're going after. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah.
I just want to know what he said relative to whatever the documentary or whatever he said.
Yeah, so he said when discussing the NCAA and what they've potentially known in regard to the allegations outlined in the documentary, Barnes says, what has been going on in college basketball, I could go back and talk about it. It's been something every decade since 1940, some way and somehow. I don't think there is any question the NCAA knows what has gone on in our sport forever. I really believe that. He continued, when talking about the NCAA and the conversations that were caught on wiretaps between Dawkins and coaches, quote, they would say things like we can't wiretap, we can't do this and that. But I don't think you have to wiretap. I think some of those things said the other night are pretty tough. I think anybody that listened to that would understand that conversation. And at the end, he said, I think they will do everything they can with the information that they have.
Yeah, and so this is where it becomes kind of interesting, right? And so, you know, my stance is, and it has been, you know, pretty consistent, is, you know, I look at this, and what I mean by where it becomes interesting is, the threshold for the NCAA to hit a school with violations is a lot different than the threshold of a school to fire a coach with cause. And if for people who kind of don't understand the difference, like you try to fire a coach and you don't have a good reason, you're going to have to pay every single dollar of that buyout. And something that Russ and I talked about last time, Trey, when you were out, was the fact that, you know, listen, there are some real heavy conversations going on about what the future of college athletics is going to look like. You know, if we do get to September and we can't start football games on time, is there money, all that kind of stuff? And so, you know, I don't know. and this is going to sound crazy, but maybe you guys will probably disagree. I don't know that there is a big enough threshold to prove based on those wiretaps that Will Wade was definitively cheating or Sean Miller was. Certainly Will Wade looked worse. I don't know how you can infer a huge-ass offer as anything other than something that is quote-unquote monetary, whether it is actual money, whether it is a physical object, a car, a house, or whatever. But is that something that LSU can fire Will Wade on as definitive proof? I don't know. And so that's where it's interesting to me is, can the NCAA kind of twist those words and say, well, based on what we found during this investigation, we saw this, this, and this, and we're inferring what you meant? That's a totally different deal, and that's why it's going to be fascinating to see how these schools kind of or how the NCAA handles these investigations. But in terms of the schools themselves, guys, you might disagree. You know, I would be scared walking into a room with a lawyer representing Will Wade or Sean Miller, having fired him and saying, we're not paying your buyout, and saying that those wiretaps were definitive proof that you broke NCAA rules. I hope that made sense. It's kind of, you know, I went a few different directions there.
I guess my thing is, if you're the NCAA, and we all have our criticisms of the NCAA, but after seeing that and hearing that, if I look at it, Aaron, like this is the NCAA's last stand. This is their last chance to be relevant. If they can't make these charges stick for LSU and Arizona, then they'll never have a bigger slam dunk than what they've got right here. So if they can't make this stick and have some sort of meaningful punishment, then that organization has to, you know, completely reinvent itself. It might have to go away and just come back as something different. I guess that's up to the colleges and the universities, but I look at this as the NCAA's last stand.
Well, what's ironic about that, Russ, is that, you know, and I've made this argument from the beginning, there's more compelling evidence in the Kansas case than I think even in those wiretaps. I mean, Bill Self is texting Adidas guys, you know, I got to get me some dudes. And then he says for the Adidas guy to call a recruit and then call him after he calls the recruit. And so I think you can kind of, and it's ironic because it started, and for anyone who saw the documentary or who simply remembers, it started as this wide-ranging thing, and you didn't really know how Louisville was totally connected with Arizona and Auburn and USC and all that stuff. But you knew they were all kind of under the same umbrella, Russ and Trey and everybody in Bear and everybody listening. But you know, I think that not only applies to Will Wade and Sean Miller, but I think there's been some pretty compelling evidence with other schools as well. And so I don't disagree where if you can't come down, and by the way, this is all following the last major scandal, which was, of course, North Carolina, in which there was documented decades of academic, impropriety. So to follow the North Carolina case, if you can't bring definitive punishment to LSU, Arizona, Kansas, all schools who are still retaining the coaching staffs that were in place when all this happened. I do think I agree with you, Russ. I don't really know what the point of the NCAA would be at that point if you don't have enough to severely punish all three of those schools specifically.
Aaron, the documentary the other night, you know, it was interesting. Me and you were kind of texting too back and forth about it, but I find it, the FBI's case, and look, that was, like Rick Barnes said yesterday, he said that was from Christian Dawkins' perspective, and I understand that, but Rick Barnes also said, that, and I didn't say this earlier, when talking about the FBI, he said, and I quote, they thought they had the playbook, but I promise you they didn't have the playbook.
Yep.
With a nice little laugh at the end of that. You look at what the FBI was doing, man. I mean, honestly, I know it's one-sided, but they got caught up in the game as well in them trying to get coaches to take this money where it never really seemed like, and this is just my opinion looking at it, did they ever really pass money off to players? Like, did they ever actually prove that they did that part?
Well, and this was, you know, this was the big thing, and it was funny. I saw the documentary a few days before it aired, and I said from the beginning, because every other media member wanted to turn this into the wiretaps, and I was like, dude, if you have a functioning brain and your biggest takeaway is the wiretaps, you're a freaking idiot. Like, I'm sorry. Like, and I don't mean to criticize other media, but it's a fact. And if you have a functioning brain and your biggest takeaway was the wiretaps, and you're either writing something or talking about something for clicks, or you don't understand, like, anything. Because the biggest takeaway to me was about our legal system and the people that are supposed to be in place to protect us, essentially forcing Christian Dawkins and his peers to build a case out of nothing. And that was my biggest takeaway. I thought the FBI looked significantly worse than Will Wade. I thought they looked significantly worse than Sean Miller. And the thing that I will say about Christian Dawkins is, no matter, you know, whether it was his perspective, not his perspective, whatever, the bottom line remains is that he has never denied that he was breaking NCAA rules. What he was denying was that he ever broke federal laws. And so the question that smart people have had from the beginning is, how is breaking NCAA rules breaking federal laws? And if anything, that is more of a gray area than it's ever been following the documentary, as opposed to it was before, because that was my biggest takeaway. It was just really appalling, you know, basically forcing money into these guys' hands and things like that. And I'll tell you this too, Trey, you know, you guys asked me about what should happen to these schools. I wonder if it's the reverse. You know, we were told that these coaches took money and, you know, they're terrible human beings. Well, man, Book Richardson from Arizona did jail time, and it, you know, did some money change hands? I don't know where it all went, but is that a guy that should never be able to work in basketball again? You know, USC has argued, maybe it's because it's so close to home, but USC, you know, has been arguing from day one, and this is public, that Tony Bland, who was the assistant at USC, kind of took money because it was forced upon him, and he never gave it to anybody. And I'd have to go back and look, but I believe they had a pretty strong case. And so you guys asked me, you know, about the punishment of stuff. How about these guys that, for lack of a better term, they got entrapped? And I hope, you know, the narrative going in was, the NCAA is going to be watching this documentary with a pen and paper in hand. And it's like, well, first of all, that's stupid. But second of all, is like, I hope if they are watching, they see that there were probably a handful of people whose lives have been completely ruined for this, who really didn't do anything all that wrong. And I don't think that they should never be allowed to work in basketball or with college-age people again.
Okay, Aaron, I'm going to throw a scenario at you here, and I'm going to go back in time just because we're in Knoxville, and I'm going to compare this to Will Wade. Yeah, Bruce Pearl, when he was the coach at Tennessee, he got fired for lying about, and I know he had a secondary violation, a bump, but I'm not worried about that. I'm talking about the main thing, the Aaron Kraft thing, where he has a barbecue, the NCAA questions him, the university does. They had a picture, you know, he lies about that. And he gets that show cause. So now let's look at it. Will Wade sits there and talks to the NCAA, and we don't know what he said to the NCAA, but I'm sure it was a lie, because if not, how is he still coaching? I'm sure he said, oh, that strong-ass offer was meant for something else. But the NCAA, like Rick Barnes said yesterday, they can interpret these things. They know what's going on here. So I ask you this, if Bruce Pearl got slammed and hammered for what he did years ago, what makes us all think the NCAA is going to somehow sack up and do anything when it comes to Will Wade, when you know? I mean, the tapes the other night, you know, they honestly proved that, in my opinion, they proved that, yes, Javonte Smart was taking money, and he's done – it also proved that he's done this before. At his previous spot, to me, it proved that. But what makes us think that the NCAA is actually going to do anything now compared to this case, when look what they did to Bruce Pearl years ago? I mean, the evidence, I would think, is more right in the face of the NCAA with LSU compared to it was with Tennessee.
Yeah, no, these are great questions. These are great questions. And, you know, and the one thing I'll say is, just from doing this for so long, and people will tell you this, is that the NCAA, and I've talked about this on this show with you guys, the NCAA is judge, jury, and executioner. And it's the only you know, system that works this way. And so you're right. Bruce Pearl lied, and that's why he was punished. But even if Will Wade, you know, Will Wade made some pretty strong statements in that press conference at in Destin, which you guys might have even been at. I would have to go back and look, but I think he even said something to the effect of like, "Well, I've never even talked to Christian Dawkins," and I could be wrong on that. We'd have to go back and watch.
No, he said that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And so, you know, is that enough of a lie? Where if he said that with an NCAA investigator recording with a lawyer in the room, is that enough to get him fired? I don't have the, or is that enough for major NCAA violations to come about? I guess what I'm trying to tell you guys, and I hadn't really thought about it until I got on air with you guys, but it's a great, I don't know if hypothetical is the right word, but it's kind of a great chicken and the egg thing of, you know, based on what we saw last night, I do not, or a couple nights ago, I do not think LSU can fire Will Wade and get away with not paying a buyout. But I think because the NCAA works in such gray area, I can absolutely see a scenario where they say, this is proof enough that you broke rules, you're out of here. And then once they hit LSU with some kind of violation, then LSU can fire him. And so that's kind of the way that I envision it. I don't think LSU is going to come out and just do it, but could the NCAA interpret it enough to say kind of like, dude, it's like we saw it the way that everybody else saw it. You were clearly cheating. You said you never talked to this guy. It's clear that at the very least you did. It seemed as though you were insinuating NCAA violations. You know, we're going to hit you with whatever. And I don't know what that looks like, but you're right, Trey, is, you know, listen, I don't know, man, the NCAA kind of works to the beat of its own drummer, but to go back to what Russ said, you know, a few minutes ago, I don't know how, if they can't hammer Will Wade on that, I don't really know what you can do.
Hey, just
yeah, and I'll kind of end it on my part with this, Aaron. Joe Oliva, the way he handled that situation, he was crucified in Baton Rouge when he suspended Will Wade. Now I have to wonder, okay, he was crucified back then, but now all these fans hear the audio. If something actually happens when it comes to the NCAA and LSU, you know, you've got to think Joe Oliva will feel vindicated because he was absolutely put out to the pasture.
Yeah, no, and that was kind of my other thought, too, with this LSU Will Wade stuff is that obviously the important other part to remember is in terms of a hiring, a firing, whatever, is that, you know, the AD that hired him is no longer the AD in charge. And so I don't know if that changes anything, but it's just kind of an interesting dynamic as far as all this is concerned. Listen, I'm amazed by it, and it's amazing to me because I think LSU is just so happy that they're winning and they're relevant. It doesn't really seem to bother them all that much, whereas I feel like Arizona, the tide has started to turn on Sean Miller a little bit. But I'm just fascinated to see what happens because, you know, there's so much gray area because the way the NCAA operates is so unlike anything in our normal society. But I think the fact that the AD who hired him is no longer there, the AD who is there now wants to protect the athletic department, protect a very successful football program, and protect the bottom line, maybe that changes some things down the road. I don't know.
Aaron, just remember, Tennessee, we are the most aggrieved fan base in college athletics. Not only did we have to fire our most popular coach in the history of this university, Bruce Pearl, for basically a speeding ticket compared to what Will Wade is getting away with, but that cost us a championship. Tennessee would have been SEC champions, back-to-back champions, if the NCAA had done its job last year.
Well, I mean, by the end of the year, I mean, by the time the allegations came out, we were pretty deep into the season. I mean, to ask the NCAA to fire him with one game left in the regular season when Vanderbilt is in last place, that might be a little bit of a stretch. But, you know, I think we can all agree that if Will Wade goes down, even if he doesn't, I think that Tennessee fans, Kentucky fans, anybody who follows SEC basketball, they'll look back on that 2019 championship, They'll wonder how a bunch of NBA guys came together under those circumstances. And at the very least, there will probably be an asterisk in the minds of many fans next to that 2019 outright SEC championship for LSU.
Well, it would have been, you know, under normal circumstances, he would have been, the NCAA would have ruled him ineligible. They would have had to forfeit the wins. Tennessee would have, and Kentucky would have
won a coach. if they get popped with violations, that means the banner has to come down. And even though we don't just name somebody a champion, we just leave it blank in the record books. In the hearts and minds of everybody listening, we'll know Tennessee was the rightful SEC champ that year.
It's fine. We're not bitter. We're not bitter. Not at all. It's okay.
It's okay. Is Bruce Pearl really more beloved than Phil Fulmer? I mean, I was kind of thinking about that when you said that.
Well,
is he?
It's obviously Fulmer was more successful, but just Bruce's personality here, it was a special. It was a special connection. He was as much a fan as he was the coach. And, like, people just identify with it. It's the same thing Auburn fans love him.
You know how I know that you guys love him? Because you still have him on your show, and he's a rival coach. Just to chat.
I can't let it go. I can't let him go. I know we should move on. We've got a nice Christian man in Rick Barnes to shepherd us through these troubled times. But it's Bruce Pearl, man. He's the
– I get it.
He took us to heights we've never been to, man. I love that guy. I can't hold it against him.
He has a very charming personality, I will say. I had him on my podcast about 6 weeks ago, and, you know, he made me feel like the most important media member ever, and I know I'm not. In my heart, I am, and in his heart, maybe, too. But, oh, man, that guy made me feel good about myself. So that sounded weird. Sorry. I think it's time to go, guys.
Yeah, I'll say this in closing. I mean, Barnes is really good too. We had him. He doesn't do nearly as much media. We had him on for the first time in a long time yesterday, and he was fantastic. I wish he would do it more. He can really connect. He just doesn't do it as much. So, anyway, Aaron, appreciate your time, my man. Have a good weekend, Aaron.
Yeah, it's what's today? Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday? I don't know. Whenever the weekend is,
matter.
I'll enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Guys.
Aaron Torres. Follow him on Twitter at @Aaron_Torres, Fox Sports Radio. Always a pleasure. Hang right there. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap up hour number two of The Drive right after this. The Drive continues. Russell Smith, Trey Wallace, Bear back with you. Wrapping up hour number two of the show. Former Kansas State President John Weifold. Don't know how to pronounce that, says in an interview today that, in his opinion, if no vaccine for COVID-19 is in place by July, it is unlikely there will be a college football season. So I know that you guys were wondering what former Kansas State President John Weifold had to say about this. Now you know.
Well, there's not going to be a vaccine in place by July.
It would certainly appear unlikely.
I mean, even if they developed one that was effective, they've not ramped up the production facilities yet. I mean, you think it's going to be easy to crank out however many hundreds of millions of doses?
No, I don't know. I mean, obviously that's outside my wheelhouse, but the timeline, most people say, you know, getting a vaccine done for any new virus typically takes 7 years. But I think Fauci has said several times that if they expedite it with, you know, the fastest they could reasonably hope to have one is a year and a half to 2 years. So that July probably seems a little bit early from that regard, according to the experts. But what I keep going back to is, what is an expert? You know, it's these docs that aren't doing a lot of interviews. Dr. Fauci has been fantastic as far as sharing what he knows with the public, but even he doesn't know. So why would John Weifold or Kirk Herbstreit or Dabo Swinney, you know?
Yeah.
Let's get Big Josh in here. Big Josh, thanks for hanging, calling back, man. Appreciate you. What's going on, buddy?
Not a whole lot. What's going on, Russ, Bear, Trey?
Hey, man, we're just hanging out. How about you?
Doing all right. Hey, and that's about enough with the big Miss Big Josh stuff, Russ. You're doing like you do. You take stuff too far. You know how you are.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does, Josh. Tell him. He pushes his...
You know, Miss Big Josh keeps me out of the ditch. Stepper. Hell, you've been married long enough. You know how it is.
That's what I'm saying. You're lucky to have her, man. That video popped. Rick Butler retweeted that video. It was the first thing I saw this morning when I woke up was that epic phone call from back in the day. So, shout out to Mr. Big Josh.
Hey, I get a little excited during the ball game, so sometimes, you know how it goes. But, hey, how's Knoxville, man? Is it shut down, really, or is people still going about their stuff?
I was out today for an hour or so, Big Josh, and there were a lot of cars out. Not as many as there usually are around noon, but it was more than just quote unquote essential workers. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's kind of, I get the feeling up here. It's the same way. Guy Eastman, he got it on the his first day out of work was the 17th, and he passed away last night. That's the first one up on this end that we've had die. So,
yeah,
I don't know,
very
man.
Sad.
I don't think we're going to see no football myself. I had hopes, but I don't see it happening. I don't see any sports. I'm still hoping the Japanese play baseball. Maybe I can watch some of that. But
now, we talked about that earlier in the week, Josh. You know, we know that you and old friend of ours, Bino, are the two most baseball crazy people I know.
Big Josh wants to watch that thing Tom Selleck played in Mr. Baseball back in the day.
Yeah, the Japanese Baseball League. Yeah, I mean, hell, at this point, if he
I
figures
asked
out
you
how
to
how
ask Vitello, Russ, you wouldn't even you didn't even ask him.
Ask him what?
If we had any balls playing over there, or who I need to pull for. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Trey, we can ask Vitello if we got any baseballs. He'll let us know. I bet you we can find that out before the end of the show.
They're supposed to start the 24th of April. They're still planning it. So
have you figured out how to watch it yet?
Yeah, I found a streaming service online. Yeah, I'm going to get me two of those blow-up sticks like they beat together over there and just sit on the back porch. And I mean, hell, I got to do something. This damn media blitz on this death cloud that's coming is about to stress me out. I need a break from it.
Yeah, I think everybody does.
Josh, appreciate you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right, y'all hang in there. Take care. See you.
Stay with us. Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.